Welcome to Reality TV, your source for snarky reality TV recaps. I'm Jody, your best friend and inner voice, as together we cringe watch all the shows we love and love to hate. For all premium content and bonus episodes, become a member at patreon.com/realitytvpod. You can also find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at realitytvpod or realitytvpodcast.com for links and so much more. And now, on with the show. Well, here we are, gathered together to witness these three couples join together in contractual wedded matrimony. This week on Married at First Sight, our couples celebrated their one-month anniversaries, and every single one of them was farting puppies and rainbows. Now, of course, I'm happy they're happy, but are they really, though? Now, I'm going to be very honest here, and it actually pains me to say this because I love this show. I've watched it from the beginning, and I'll likely watch it till it's eventually canceled. But I think this show is just starting to be like a lot of non-scripted reality shows when it really started as more of a marriage dating experiment. It was more kind of documentary style. But over the last few seasons, it's become so heavily edited and leaning towards one way or the other with certain storylines that it's damn near impossible to know the truth of what's going on. And that's why at least I am so interested to watch, right? Now, I don't even know if I'm making sense at this point. So let's just jump right in with Pastor Calvin's level 1500 decibel voiceover. He's talking about how people will self-sabotage relationships and it's up to them to make the relationship work. They just have to try hard enough. Okay, that's BS. Once again, he's saying that if the couples don't work out, it's because they didn't try and they purposely sabotaged it. You know, it's not that all the experts who match them that bear any responsibility at all. It's not possible that they were just incompatible and don't have a connection. It's their fault. I think Pastor Cal just heard that term self-sabotage from the commercials that are running for Unreal between the breaks, and I think he just thought it sounded kind of cool and psychology-ish. Now, we're going to start with the Jeffdies this week. I am still shaking my head trying to figure out how we went from one extreme to the other with this couple, and this is what I'm talking about with this editing. I have to think that once Reunion or a tell-all airs, some of the editing will make sense, but until then, I'm just stunned during their scenes. I love when they get Shaunice and her cousin Toya on camera, they're doing FaceTime. I love that they're best friends, and it's just really sweet and special to me when family members choose to be best friends. I love it. Now, they're talking about how it's been 1 month since she and Jeffdy got married, and while they're talking about what they're planning for their anniversary, I can't take my eyes off the TJ Maxx bag on the table. I wanted to know what was in it. Was it on clearance? Was it from the home goods section, the beauty, clothes, perhaps a candle? Because if you haven't checked out the TJ Maxx candle section, you're missing out. I mean, I'm too frugal to pay full price for a candle, so that's where I go if I need one. Because if you're paying full price for a candle, or even the $5.99 at TJ Maxx, you're literally burning money, right? Now, you know what else I love at TJ Maxx besides everything? Their journals and stationery stuff. Now, I never actually buy it, but I like to look at it and pretend I'm on a camping sabbatical or I'm a deep thinker and I journal poems and prose or something. So check it out if you're into that kind of stuff. Okay, well, while Shaunice is folding laundry, we learn that she started folding Jeffdy's stuff too, and in particular, his underwear. Now, I didn't think it was that odd to fold underwear, but her cousin does. I just figured everyone folds it, right? Now, actually, believe it or not, well, you probably will believe it because I've already told you I'm really type A. I follow that KonMari method. It's the, what is it, the something art of tidying up. I'm not super strict about it, but it is pretty awesome. I fold everything how she says to do it, and it really does transform your dressers and stuff. You see what you're wearing, what you haven't worn lately. I highly recommend it. And I highly recommend it to Shawnee's because I think she'd enjoy it. Now later, it's time for date night. Shawnee's is so damn adorable. She's complimenting herself that she's dressed up super cute and she's feeling good. Send some of that confidence this way, girl. I love it. Now she's feeling that they're finally at a comfortable place and she thinks they have what it takes to make it the long run. They're happily ever after. Now you know what will make this a happily ever after for me? Besides seeing what the editors cut on the cutting room floor, I would like to see Jeffy and Shawnee's seated at a table where the paint on the wall is finished and it's not patched and spackled in three different colors. Did anyone else notice this? It looked like a really bad at-home ombre hair dye job. If I knew what restaurant they went to, I would have looked it up on Yelp or maybe even put a review in for myself because it was a sight to be seen. So let's try to get the scoop on that. Okay, well, now it's gift time. I remember the days of celebrating little anniversaries like this. Now, as an old fart married couple, anniversaries are more like, yay, it's been 1 year since we did taxes. Let's go on an adventure and see if we win or lose this time. Or actually, a favorite anniversary of mine is around Christmas time when the whole family gets bundled up. We put our coats on. We head down to the basement, find that old dusty box with the artificial tree, pull out the Rubbermaid containers. Yeah, anniversaries are important. So what did these two lovebirds get one another? Shawnee's got Jeffy's socks and a t-shirt. So that's what she probably got at TJ's. I like it. Approved. Now, Jeffy seems to appreciate the gesture, although he does mention how Shawnee's really doesn't know him well enough to get him something that he would really love. That makes me a little nervous, but at least he didn't say stranger, so at least we can be thankful for that. So what did Jeffy get for his bride? A snow globe that's engraved with 1 month down, forever to go. I'm not a snow globe kind of girl, so maybe that's it. But if you must do a knickknack, maybe do like one of those willow tree figurines, just something that's a little less bulbous. However, if you are a snow globe collector and Shawnee's treasure caught your eye, it's on sale for $39.99, marked down from $50 at Things Remembered. Oh, isn't that sweet? Maybe wind it up when you're in the mood to hear creepy dollhouse music. So serene and relaxing. Now, you think that would be enough of a work of unique art to bring Shawnee's to tears, but the next gift really turns on the waterworks. It is an LED light-up sign that says Mr. and Mrs. Pierre. I think it's a valiant effort for a guy. Again, it's not so much my taste, but A for effort. And clearly, Mrs. Jeffy likes it. Jeffy uses it as a human shield to block Shawnee's from kissing him at first, but she nuzzles her way around and steals some affection. Now, if this sounds like something you would like to reenact with your special someone, it's item number 351481, also at Things Remembered at your local mall of choice, retailing at $45. You're welcome. Now we also get to see these two on another date night at a place with an amazing outdoor patio. Totally put me in the mood for summer. I love an outdoor patio and drinks. And nothing much really happens here aside from joking around about kids' names. I really, really hope Jeffy is serious about Shawnee's because all of us here, or most of us here, are women. And when you start joking around about baby names, even though you're joking, in most of us, it plants this seed deep, deep down, and it makes our brains start to overthink things and assume mutual feelings are there. So I just hope, for Shawnee's sake, that Jeffy is genuine. Now, they end the night at home cuddling and joking around, and Then we hear Shanice tell Jeffy that she has lingerie on. Again, love the confidence, but damn, those scenes for next week have me worried to high hell for our girl. Now, next we hear Dr. Pepper sounding not so peppy. What's going on with the experts this year? Normally, we have Dr. Pepper stopping by, dropping in. She's all excited and animated in her segments, and she's just not around too much. I'm hoping Peps is okay. I miss her happy little head making the couples awkwardly divulge things about their sleeping and teeth brushing habits. I don't know. I think we gotta check in with the Peps. All right, let's go to Ryan and Jackie next, shall we? Out of nowhere, we get a surprise visitor at Jackie's place. Ding dong, it's Molly. She's come over to share a glass of wine while helping Jackie with her crafty anniversary project. Yeah, this was not set up by production at all, right? Now, as Jackie is showing Molly all these adorable photos of Ryan and her, they're talking about the highs and lows of this experiment. Jackie's been having a tough time with Ryan working so much, and it's not just work. We find out that he's been going out at 11 o'clock at night and he meets up with his friends. Jackie doesn't want to be going to bed at night. I mean, she's married now. However, she doesn't want to be coming off like the nagging wife or like she's mothering Ryan, telling him that he's got to be home by curfew. Now, I've been thinking about this since last night. Would I want my husband leaving at 11 p.m. and coming home whenever if he's already gone two nights a week for work? Probably not when we were first married. Now that we've been together for a long time and I'm used to life and him traveling and I'm busy too, it really wouldn't be a huge deal for me. I also think, Jackie, it's been 3-4 weeks since he got married. Like, he can't just change overnight. Let the guy go out. He'll settle down eventually. But that's the thing, right? She doesn't have time to wait for eventually. She kind of needs to know now if he's going to change and settle down because, what, decision day is 4 weeks away? Well, Molly is there to psych her up a little bit to confront Ryan about it. And if Ryan doesn't take her concerns seriously, well, then Jackie sees this relationship going in the wrong direction. So fast forward to anniversary day. Ryan is in the kitchen scrambling up what looks like already hard-boiled eggs and spinach. And then he dumps it onto plates and wedges the piping hot eggs next to their wedding cake. I think a second trip would have been a better idea, but, you know, I should know better than to question Mr. Buckley. Well, he's feeling good. He's feeling confident. He's got his tray of goodies. No regrets in wearing those American Pride boxer shorts again either. Those shorts make me so ragey for many reasons. One of them being that they remind me of David from season 3. I think he wore a tank top that had that same flag thing going on. And anything that reminds me of David Norton is just going to irritate the hell out of me. And while we're at it, you know what else irritated me? When Ryan walks in the room with that big wooden box that he's going to give Jackie, and he steps up onto the bed to put it on the other side of the bag. So in other words, at the end of the bed, why not just walk around on the ground, go the extra 2 steps to place it down instead of making this big scene? Well, in the end, he likes his little picture book and Jackie gets gift cards for a massage and a wooden box. So jump ahead to date night. Ryan has decided to take Jackie to an indoor soccer field because he used to coach soccer and it's something he loves to do. Notice a pattern that it's always about Ryan? Suddenly, like the voice of Morgan Freeman narrating The Shawshank Redemption, Pastor Cal's voice booms in to tell us that Ryan needs to learn how to express love the way that Jackie needs it, that he has to change to make his marriage work. Wait a damn second. Isn't there something about not changing who you are for someone else? I get it. Yeah, there's compromises. But now we're explicitly saying they need to change who they are or they are just not trying hard enough. I don't like it. Now, at this point, Jackie seems content. She says that all she really wants is Ryan to take time to spend time with her when he can. Do I wish Ryan chose something Jackie wants to do? Of course. Or maybe find out more about her and go that direction? Yeah. However, just as I suspected, and much like I've said about John last week, Ryan peaked in high school, and he's not even shy about it. Is there anything more annoying than listening to people talk about high school like they are still in it, like they're still the most popular kids there, even though they graduated before most of the kids currently in high school were even born? Well, Ryan comments that high school was his glory days, and playing soccer and having a picnic is, and I quote, is my epic high school soccer date. Okay, so you still have the same standards for a date that you had in high school? You still have this jock and fangirl fantasy? Ugh. Well, Jackie seems to be having a good time. Didn't seem like she loved it, but she suggested doing animal impersonations to liven things up. So maybe I just don't understand Jackie at all. Perhaps the only language that she and I share at this point is that of the grape, because I spied that 1.5 liter of wine. That a girl. Now, although date night was fun, later we find Jackie wandering through a dark apartment because Ryan is out with friends, and Jackie is now wearing Ryan's crusty, patriotic boxers, so I don't even know what to think anymore. Hey, Molly and John, you're up. Now, I was up late last night tweeting with at MAFS fan, Married at First Sight fan, and man, she is so good. She's so good, it's worth opening a Twitter account if you're into Married at First Sight. So remember that big blowout that Molly and John had last week? The one where John was blasting Molly for having a threesome, yet she won't sleep with him? Well, right from the jump last night, John says, yesterday we had this conversation, but she takes it as an argument and gets defensive. Now, I would hardly say last week's conversation was a conversation. I think it was more of a fight. And yeah, I'd get defensive too if someone was talking about the ins and outs of my vagina, literally. So John brings Molly flowers as a sign of waving the surrender flag. And he says that he's told her a dozen times that he doesn't want to walk away just as friends. He wants all or nothing. Well, thank God Molly sets the record straight and I think sticks to the real issue. Okay, John, but the issue for me is when it starts going too far in one direction, meaning how John started playing dirty and slinging insults. Now, they agree to go back to having no expectations, just have fun and go with the flow. Now, keep that argument from last week in this little flowers for forgiveness talk in the back of your mind. Trust me, I'm going somewhere with this. Now, this is their 1 month anniversary, right? 1 month equals 4 weeks. Remember that. Now, for their anniversary, they're going to Stone Farm to pick apples and drink some sort of delicious looking beer or cider. I love apple picking, pumpkin picking, and even more than that, those fresh apple cider donuts that you can only get that time of year. Ugh, God help me. I feel like Augustus Gloop up in that freaking chocolate tube when I smell those things. Hold me back, bro. Now, much like the Jeffdies, Molly and John are joking about kids. John more so than Molly. She just throws out some subtle rejection like, no, and my body can't handle that. And now, unlike the other couples exchanging gifts and going on fun dates, Molly says that she and John aren't materialistic. They would rather do something than do elaborate gifts. Sure, Jan. Talk to me after you don't get a birthday, Valentine's, anniversary, Christmas gift, okay? I am sure you'll be very happy going shopping at Costco as a couple with John instead. Hashtag quality time. But for today, they're apple picking so they can make an apple pie together. Now, fast forward back at their apartment with the apples. There are lots of weird sounding voiceovers from Molly. Again, keep this in mind. John is busy playing to the cameras how manly he is by aggressing those apples like they just told him he made the B team instead of varsity. And Molly is putting their masterpiece pie in the oven. And I noticed that she was wearing her shoes inside, a nice little ballet flat. And at the time, I thought that was really sweet of her, like not to wear a heel around little John, even though I'm not a big fan of shoes in the house because, ugh, duh, cross-contamination. Now wait, all of a sudden, Molly is seen in an interview with a totally different hair color. It was way more ashy, and it's clear it's been recorded much later than all the other ones. But hold the phone. In a flurry of activity, back in the kitchen, John flicks a spoonful of ice cream onto the floor, and it lands exactly in the same spot Molly was just standing with her shoes on. The second I saw her look at that ice cream, I knew it was over. I knew she was going to eat it. And sure enough, she picks it up and lets the now creamy, cold magnet for filth melt all over her pie. And she's just eating that shit up like it's the secret potion that's going to make John disappear. Now, if you think I'm crazy and a little neurotic, you're probably right. But just think about what was on the bottom of those shoes she was wearing walking around Boston all day, in and out of bathrooms, sidewalks. She's basically just licked the bottom of her shoe and flavored it with a little cinnamon and baked apple. Okay, well, aside from Molly needing to go into a full quarantine, they decide that, yeah, they should do more stuff like this together, blah, blah, blah. Okay, now think back on that fight from last week's episode. In that scene, John says two things that confirm that fight was after this anniversary and pie night that we saw last night. He says, and I quote, "To say it's," meaning the attraction, "is missing, it might show up after 3 weeks, it can't." Okay, do the math. 8 week show, 1 month, 4 week anniversary. If there's 3 weeks left, then this fight was a week after pie night. Okay, still not convinced? Well, John goes on to say, "Do you know me better than the people you've gone out with for 5 weeks?" I mean, he says it right there. They've been together 5 weeks, not three or almost four before their 1 month anniversary. Now, again, credit fully goes to at Married at First Sight fan, MAF fan, for that one. But I think she is onto something, which brings it all full circle why I think this show is too edited and cooked up this season. Again, I'm still a fan. I'm going to watch, but I want it like the old school, real world New York and LA. Just go OG on us next season. Please, Lifetime. Okay, friends. Well, that does it for Married at First Sight this week. Coming up on Patreon, recaps of My 600-Pound Life, The Asante Brothers. And it's a free TLC app, I think, so you can see those episodes if you haven't. I highly recommend you watch. And also, I've got caught up on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills finally, so we're going to need to discuss that too. Come and chat with me and the rest of the Salty Gang at Reality TV Pod everywhere and patreon.com/realityvpod for bonus content, including recaps of Real Housewives of New York coming up next month. And as always, thanks for listening. Stay salty.